Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Rob Hess, Commissioner of the New York City Department of Homeless Services. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Shelley Mills Brinkley. Rob, maintaining a highly skilled, results-oriented workforce has got to be key to the success of any organization, especially yours. Could you give us an overview of your agency's human capital strategy? What are some of the steps being taken to attract and maintain a high-quality technical and professional workforce?
Well, we do a number of things. First, we are so fortunate to be in New York City that when we have senior-level positions, we typically attract applications from around the country and in some cases around the world. And so the level of talent we're able to attract is just remarkable. And part of that is I think we're probably the largest department of our kind, certainly in the country and perhaps in the world. And so that helps us. But we do some other things as well. I mean, we have a summer intern program where we'll invite around 50 or 60 grad students and undergrad students from around the country to join us for the summer. And so we look for, obviously, the best and the brightest. I think this past summer we had folks from 15 or 20 different states that came in and spent the summer with us. And everything from my office through our law department, through policy and planning, to the operational divisions. And so we really have just a remarkable group of young people that are extraordinarily talented with us every summer. And not surprisingly, some of those folks actually come back as our staff. We recruit folks out of that pool on occasion. We also have a variety of other programs that come to us from a variety of ways. So we'll have interns throughout the regular school year as well. And so we really have been able to attract a very high level of talent.
That's fantastic. Must be a wonderful experience for those students that come over for the 3 months of their break.
You know, not just for them. It's a wonderful experience for us. To have fresh eyes come in and kind of look at things and question what we're doing. And we give them every opportunity to do that. The only rule at DHS is don't come in there to punch a time card and do your 8 hours. We want your mind. You know, if you're not contributing by providing some intellectual capital, you're in the wrong place.
That's great. I'd like to sort of transition now and look towards the future. What are some of the major opportunities and challenges that your organization will encounter in the future? And how do you envision your agency will evolve over, say, the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, I think the challenges are not unique to New York City. I think the challenges are kind of challenges that we need to grapple with as a nation. You know, there is a growing divide between kind of the haves and the have-nots, and I think we just need to be honest about that. I think we have seen a shrinking pool of affordable housing across this country, and I think we need to be honest about that. I think we've seen a much greater gap between entry-level wages and housing costs in almost every city, if not every city in this country, and we need to be honest about that. And I would hope that we will begin to see some real discussion on the federal level, a real national dialogue on some of these issues that will help us figure this out, because we can. I mean, if we look back just over the last 40 years, we've seen things like the GI Bill. Well, when I left the Army, didn't have much money. Right? Didn't get a high-paying job, did not have a college education. But because of my military service and the GI Bill, I could go to school at night while I worked during the day and get my degree. When I got married, I think using the VA benefits through the GI Bill, I actually put $500 down to buy our first house. Those opportunities aren't there in quite the same way they were for me a few years ago. And so I think we need to think about that as a country. Things like CETA program and other kinds of big work programs that allowed employers to take a chance and bring employees in and see how good they could be just aren't as readily available. And so I think there's things that we could do with respect to federal and national policy that would make it much less likely that people would experience homelessness. And I think we ought to have that dialogue. And I'm not sure that we had enough of that dialogue over the last 10 or 15 or 20 years.
So earlier you were talking about giving staff handheld devices to use in the field in order to bridge the conversation gap that may have happened if you don't have those. To what extent has technology advances enabled your agency to be more effective and efficient in meeting your noble goal? You know, and what technology do you see as most promising going forward?
Well, you mentioned the handhelds, so let me stick with that for a minute, because this is very exciting. You know, it's an absolute tragedy to me when someone living on the streets dies in view, in public view, because of very cold weather, for example. I've always felt that we could do better than that, and we have to do better than that as a city. And so the handheld devices, in addition to doing the great data collection that we talked about, also now take advantage of GPS. So if you're an outreach worker and you see me sleeping on the streets and it's very cold weather and you check me to make sure I'm okay, I'm not a threat to myself in terms of the weather and what could happen to me, you automatically are pinpointing my location and date and time stamping your contact with me. And that then, by technology, can be transmitted to a command dispatch map and date and time stamped. And so maybe it's green right after you contact me. Maybe our medical professor will say, given the weather outside, we'd have to check on me again within 2 hours to make sure I'm still okay, right? Maybe at an hour and a half, that green dot turns yellow, and a dispatcher knows he needs to get somebody back to me. And maybe if it is 2 hours, it turns red, and we know we got to get somebody back there quickly to make sure that I'm okay. So my point is that utilizing the technology that we're developing, we will save lives on the streets of this city during bad weather conditions and other times as well.
That's very exciting. So given all the efforts that are underway, I have to ask, what can ordinary citizens of New York do to help contribute to your efforts within the agency? And perhaps you could tell us just very simply, what are three ways in which the average citizen could help overcome this issue of homelessness?
Well, I think there's a couple things that folks can do. I mean, first and foremost, if you see somebody on the street that looks like they need help and you're in New York City, dial 311. You know, take the time to let us know, and we will dispatch an outreach team or other appropriate professionals and make sure that individual is okay and offer them support, offer them the ability to move indoors. That's number one. I think number two, acknowledge people experiencing homelessness as human beings. Too often, you sit and watch and people just walk by and never even make eye contact with somebody that may be living on the street. So make eye contact. If you're in the habit of saying good morning or good evening to folks, do that. That's a big step. If you want to help with the issue generally, you know, you can visit a shelter nearby. Take a tour. If you feel comfortable, talk to people. Figure out what your own comfort level is and then push that a little bit. Maybe you go in once a week and sit down and read a book to a child that's experiencing homelessness living in a shelter. But somehow get engaged and better understand the issue and figure out what you can do and what you want to do to help become part of the solution. And if people would do that, I think it would make a huge, huge difference.
That's great advice. Now, Rob, your career in public service has been marked by passion, which is clearly coming through in this interview, and your dedication to a very, very critical national issue. What advice would you give perhaps a person who is thinking about a career in public service, and in particular, someone who may be interested in ending chronic homelessness and working with those who are most at risk?
Well, I guess the advice I would give is first of all, find a career path that you can be passionate about. If you're not passionate about it and it's just a job to collect a paycheck, it seems to me that would be a terrible way to spend a career. So find something you can be passionate about and then try to leave your preconceived notions to the side and learn as much as you can. And you're always better off listening than talking. If you can start there, even things that you hear that you may absolutely disagree with at first blush, give them a chance. Let it sink in and try to understand why that individual that's saying whatever they're saying to you, why are they saying that? Why do they believe that? What's going on with them that makes that real to them? And if you can do that, you can really then understand issues in a very different way and figure out how to move towards solutions over time to complicated problems.
And certainly it goes back to the story you told us when you allowed the 160 outreach workers to sit and just talk to you as opposed to having all their supervisors there and getting a different perspective.
Look, they're the experts. We just want to take the best experts we can get, bring them together, figure out the right strategies, and then we want to support them in those strategies.
That's great. Robert, that's obviously great advice. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Shelley and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the great city of New York and to helping to alleviate the plight of homelessness.
Thank you so much. And I just want to assure your listening public that we're going to do everything we can in the city of New York under the leadership of Mayor Michael Bloomberg to move towards eliminating the need for people to sleep on our streets and our shelters. And we're going to drive toward that two-thirds reduction that we talked about. And we're going to work every day and every hour between now and midnight on December 31st, 2009, to get this job done. We owe it to the citizens of New York. We owe it to those experiencing homelessness. And we're not going to waste a minute along the way.
Fantastic. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Robert Hess, Commissioner of the New York City Department of Homeless Services. My co-host has been Shelley Mills Brinkley, partner in IBM's Public Sector Social Services Practice. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.